Welcome to Sri and Kira Live, the voice of passionate action, bringing fresh perspectives and timeless wisdom for today's shifting paradigm. Now, it is your moment to open your mind, relax into your body and spirit as we explore the greater meaning of your now experience. Bringing wisdom, laughter, and clarity, here are Sri and Kira.
Namaste, beloved ones. I am Kira Ra.
And I am Sri Ram Ka, and we are delighted to be with you.
You know, especially today, this is part two of a four-part series, and Sri and I and a beautiful group of amazing other journeyers are with us here. We are broadcasting to you live from Rishikesh, India, sitting literally staring out at the Himalayas and at the beautiful Dewa Retreat right here in Rishikesh, a glorious moment indeed. And I love today's topic, Sri, don't you?
Absolutely, because at the heart of matters is compassion.
Every way. And you might be saying now, hey, Sri and Kira, your show says Dharmashala. And yeah, we just got back from being in Dharmashala. It was incredible. And I even learned to pronounce it correctly. How about that?
There is a local pronunciation. We had always called it Dharmashala.
Oh, no, I'd call it Dharmasala.
Sala.
Yeah. Which is living room in Spanish.
Yeah,
so it's not the divine living room.
It is.
In some ways it was.
However, the locals pronounce it a little differently.
They do.
Dharmashala.
Dharmashala. As we were corrected time and time again when we were out. And you know, truly, my angels, if you ever get an opportunity to get to northern India, to get to this town, what's so beautiful about it is that, you know, it has many different, it's bigger than I thought, number one, and it has many different little areas. And mm-hmm. we were very blessed to stay at an incredible place called the Divine Hema. And I'm just waving a hello to all of the beautiful beings that treated us so well at this little teeny tiny boutique retreat that we stayed at. And they were in one district, and then you would travel these very teeny tiny roads to get up to the area where His Holiness the Dalai Lama is, and really what felt like Tibet.
Absolutely. And one of the things that struck me immediately when we arrived was the sense of peacefulness that seemed to pervade the entire area.
Yeah.
Often when we go to a town, we pick up on the kind of the frenetic energy of the town, the hustle and the bustle. Or if we're just out in nature, we pick up on the nature energy. However, what I noticed in Dharmashala was the sense of peacefulness that was human. There was heart plus nature.
Yet it existed within quite a bit of chaos, especially on the streets.
Well, the streets in India are unique.
Well, and in Dharmashala, you had this contrast of bulls that knew they were absolutely safe, and whole families of bulls and cows would just lay down in the middle of the streets that were small to begin with, and then you've got squeaking little taxis and vans, and people just kind of
horns honking at every turn.
And oblivious pedestrians.
And pedestrians just walking. There is an incredible cacophony on the roads, and yet it all seems to work.
Well, it does work. It obviously works. As a matter of fact, one of the things we all would chat about was the surprising minimal amount of what perceived to be accidents or injuries. But in any given day, you would expect that there would just be this gridlock experience. And I love this as the foundation of a show about compassion and about the need for compassion on our planet right now. And you know, here we are right now in Rishikesh, where we just want to share with all of you, and I want you to just feel this, where all of us sitting here together right now are pumping this energy to you, that for those of you who are not aware, July, the month of July here in India, is the month of Shravan, and which is this I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, so I'm sorry, which is the month of Shiva.
And there are so many thousands of devotees.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Up to a million where we are now.
Yeah, these people are dressed in orange shirts, and they have been walking from their villages hundreds of kilometers away. And part of the sacred pilgrimage here is to take water from their village to bring to the Ganges, and then to take Ganges water back to their village.
Now, I want to just share that that is not the name of the ceremony that's happening right now. right now. We happen to be here during a peak ceremonial time, and we're going to talk a lot more about that next week. But the reason we wanted to bring it up is that this show is coming to you kind of in that bridge energy, the energy of carrying the I really felt like I was in Tibet when we were up in Dharamshala.
Well, we're transiting worlds here.
We are transiting worlds. And when we got to, especially when you get to this one peak area in Dharamshala, what's so amazing is, imagine, guys, you're on this little teeny tiny street that in most areas of the world would be the walkway. Only in
bike path size.
It would really be, and it's the street, and it's made of cement, and it is densely lined with shops. And then all of a sudden, there's a series of prayer wheels. And the prayer wheels are big, and I don't know, I'm holding up my hands. How big is that tree?
Oh, a couple feet tall.
About a couple feet tall, and they're, you know, beautiful colored, and you enter in, and this is, you know, you're walking, there's all these shops, and then all of a sudden, there is this beautiful prayer wheel area, and people just walking there and taking that moment, or there are beautiful people that are, I always say this word wrong, I'm going to say circumbobulate. What is
circumnavigating?
Whatever. I think I was told it was a kilometer and a half of where His Holiness the Dalai Lama
Well,
lives.
Yeah, let me describe this because it's really sacred and beautiful.
Stunning.
The Dalai Lama's residence is at the top of a hill. And due to his presence and notoriety, they have built a wall around the residence, but it's a pretty big wall.
And it's almost like an island.
It's like an island at the very top.
Yeah.
And it's a kilometer and a half circumference, so almost about a mile to walk around.
What is that word?
Circumbobulating.
It's when you walk around.
Yeah. We're gonna skip the semantics and move right on to the process, which is every morning the local devout ones
at
sunrise, they walk around the Dalai Lama's residence.
The entire kilometer and a half with their prayer wheels in hand. One hand has a prayer wheel, one hand has a mala, and it's predominantly the Tibetan refugees, but certainly they're joined by others. And we were not there at sunrise, but when we were there were still people making this pilgrimage. And this is a very traditional process. And it was just so beautiful to see, in my case, I witnessed these women that had to be, oh my goodness gracious, definitely late 70s, maybe in their 80s, beautiful gray hair, tied back with their prayer wheels and their sincerity. Just hustling. I mean, just I am on a journey. I am walking around and I am doing my thing. And I was sharing with Sri, it was really so beautiful. At one point, we were stopped and this huge, beautiful cow, bull, whatever, was walking by the car with his big horns. And I had the car window down. I was trying to get a picture of him. And this beautiful woman who had been doing her prayer walk, you know, you talk about compassion, right? Stopped, and I was eyeball to eyeball with her, and probably the most beautiful smile I've ever felt in my life. It was just such a beautiful, precious moment. It was just such a gift, and it was really the energy and the heart of compassion, and it was the mutual compassion and respect for that beautiful animal, this huge animal that was just like, here I am in my full presence, her in the middle of her beautiful prayer, the interaction with us. It was one of those moments where all of the dimensions came together, where all of the heart energy came together that makes you recognize and remember the divine blessing of simply being.
When the heart is active, there is a timelessness that comes forward.
In every way.
That sense of, I am full.
Yeah.
We are full together. There's no need to tick-tock and dice it up.
Well, and this whole Congra Valley that we were in was really quite magical. You know, in 1905, there had been a very large earthquake here, and there was a lot of destruction. But the temples are there, and the energy is there. And ever since 1959, when His Holiness the Dalai Lama came there as a refugee, there has built up a vast energy of establishing a container. You know, it really very much, and I think it was very symbolic to have his palace up on this mountain area, to have this container of compassion. And it's interesting, its position in India, its position on the Asian area here, of a radiation of love and compassion. And, you know, one of the things that we could honestly feel, and I shared with my beloved when we were there, is given the occupation of the country of Tibet, being there felt like Tibet to me, especially in these certain areas. As you would drive, the architecture changed, the people, you know, the primary population.
All the houses shift, on the hillside in multiple colors, mm-hmm. and the roof lines and the height to width ratio of the houses was all giving you that feeling of I'm in a different cultural experience. And one of the things about Dharamshala is the prevalence sense of acceptance. You have traditional Hindu people that have been there. Their families have been in the valley.
Well, and that's what hit me is like, duh, Kira. You know, they came to what was a traditionally Hindu area, and the weaving of the two cultures, mm-hmm. and the divine acceptance and harmony is humbling. It's a beautiful role model for our world.
Well, and it reminded me also of the work of Gandhi, is non-resistance. There was a sense of aso, you know, mm-hmm. welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Now, indeed, I may not have this perfectly, but I do have a sense of it. Dharamshala was...
Are you saying that right?
I don't know. Was when you break down dharam and shala, when you break those two words down, what it basically means is about the practice of giving service or openness to others.
And safe shelter.
And safe shelter.
This was explained to us that the word itself actually means come and you shall be given shelter.
Yeah. And so the actual name of the town is certainly aligned with the spirit of the energy.
It's literally come here and find safe shelter in your divine presence, and you will be welcomed. And I believe the number we were told is that every year there are still up to 10,000 refugees from Tibet flooding into this area. And so it's a very active area of... Number one, receiving refugees.
Yes.
Which that could be a whole other show, and maybe in August we'll talk about that. Number two, the beauty of compassion, because I think one of the things that was so visceral, that was so tangible there, was this blending of culture and all of the cultures that were there in combination with the fact that not only do you have all these cultures really cohabitating quite beautifully there, you also have the cacophony of the crowded little streets because, well, with His Holiness' arrival and the influence of the Tibetans and the people that have lived there and all of the other pilgrims and people that are coming.
And tourists.
When you're there, you realize there's no way those roads can expand. There is no way they can do anything about it. It's not like they're going to build a freeway and put a bypass in. And so there has to be, I think, only in an area where the energy of compassion is so prevalent, could you get away with that without people wanting to just go after each other.
It's a beautiful
model of harmony.
That also underscores an important point. In my last experience of being in Los Angeles was one of frustration and road rage that I witnessed.
You would pray somebody didn't have a gun.
You know, you look at this sense of urgency and basically people saying, you're holding me back. You know, with the congestion, whereas the feeling here was one of we'll all get there.
Yeah. Now, guys, we're not saying that people aren't. I mean, it was very adorable. God bless our drivers, and you know, they drive on the other side of the street. So for those of us that come from countries where you know you're driving on, you know, the side of the street,
the right lane or the left lane,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So they're driving number one. It would be like you're in England, right? So they're driving on the other side of the street for people like us. So you have that going on. Then you have, I mean, there's plenty of frustration among the drivers, but it's the way they handle it.
Well, they didn't seem to carry it. There'd be a moment of honking the horn or
they like their horns.
Or waving at the other driver. You go, you wait.
It's very much about
and
that.
And then 2 seconds later, it's over.
Exactly.
There's nothing carried.
Well, and there's not this sense of yielding. There's just a sense of one of us is going to have to back up for us to get through, or one of us is going to have to go the other way. And this, again, and we're sharing all this with you, my angels, because what is compassion? Compassion begins with the recognition that we are a human race. We are not a race. We are not a color. We are not a original, you know, we are together one gifted, blessed, processing human globule, you know? And so the blessing is that when we can come at it from that level, we can resolve things. And is not compassion about recognizing our harmonious actions first?
Well, it begins with a recognition that the other party has a right to be.
Exactly.
And when we can accept that those that are gathered here, whether they're strangers or family, all have a right to be here, then we can find a way to work things out.
And you know, we can. We always can. And we have so much more to share with you about compassion and about what's happening on our planet right now and why in this July journey. I mean, let's not forget, my angels, that even though we're here in India for the entire month of July, we are all on this journey of July. Our world is on this journey. We're seeing domino pieces starting to fall. We're seeing others starting to organize. We're building a very vast energy. And so how appropriate that in this moment we are reminded of the blessing of compassion and about bringing that compassion into our own lives first. Now, speaking of compassion and our own lives, Sri and I first and foremost want to reach out to all of you. You know, we are, guys, at this point, I don't know. We're probably close to, I don't know, maybe around 1,000 or so mini soul reading requests. And as you know, there's just no way we can get to all of them. However, so many of you have written and wished well wishes to all of us that are here traveling around in India. And we really just want to give a quick shout out to so many of you, to Jillian and Patricia and Jasper and Angelina and Jerry and all of you and so many more. We love you and thank you. Thank you so much, because truly, all of us here, there's 18 of us, and we feel you. We really feel you, and believe me, you are with us. We are truly honored to have the presence of you with us on this miracle journey. And Sri, let's say hello to some of our other beautiful beings. And what we've tried to do is go through and really for each one of our shows. So you know you got to listen all month because you never know which show we're trying to pull the energies of the readings that really seem to have a broader fit for so many people. And so the first person we want to mention today is, I hope we're pronouncing this right,
Siv.
From Finland. So I hope it's not Siv. I think it's Siv, don't you?
S-I-V.
It's anyway. S-I-V from Finland. And let's read what Siv has to share.
He says, hello from Finland. I found you on YouTube a couple years ago, and I have followed you ever since. Your insights and wisdom have helped me a lot. So thank you. I am so grateful for the work you do. I hope you could give me some guidance on how to handle the fear energy when it comes to my own life. I have a job that is draining and unfulfilling, and I feel tired most of the time. I know and I believe that I can do more than this, but I allow fear to make my choices. Do you have any advice? Lots of love and big hugs to you both. Siv.
Well, Siv, first and foremost, lots of love and big hugs to you as well, my angel. And, you know, the first thing Sri and I want to share regarding your request is that I first want to talk about the planetary thought body, because whenever we are letting fear make our choices, it also means that we have removed the compassion for our own lives. We have forgotten the blessing that we are. And with the planetary thought body right now, and especially in this July journey, and as we move forward into this August, what we're going to call the August adventure, there is a predominant rise in the energy of fear. So the planetary thought body, again, for those of you that may not be familiar with it, is the collective sloughing of energy of every being on this planet. Every time we subconsciously release energy, it goes and creates this planetary thought body. And the planetary thought body right now is very gooey, very sticky. It's also being consciously fed with fear. Bear in mind that oh my goodness gracious, not even that many years ago, or I guess I'm old enough to say that, I don't know. But you go back about 30, 40 years ago, fear was not the predominant energy of the planetary thought body. However, that's the world we're in right now. So what that means is that whenever we are feeling great fear, whenever we are making our choices based on fear, we have removed the compassion for our own journey. We have forgotten the truth of who we are. And when we forget the truth of who we are, we become affected by the planetary thought body. And remember, the planetary thought body right now is being compressed by the fourth dimension. If you're not familiar with this, please go to our YouTube site, Official Sri and Kira, and watch the video on the collapse of the fourth dimension. This is really, really important information, because with the compression of the fourth dimension, it's making the third dimension much more intense. This is why everything that's happening in density seems bigger and seems more fearful and seems more dramatic than it has felt in a long time. It's because it's being compressed. It's being squeezed. So it's important, Siv, for you to, as Archangel Zadkiel would say, it's important for you to have more passion for your life than you have for your fear. To allow yourself to have mercy on yourself, as my beloved Sri always says so well. And so for any of you that may be feeling fear, one thing that you can very easily do is bring a hand to your heart, or both hands. And when you bring the hands to your heart, you're sending passion, compassion into your own physicalness, and you're offering reassurance. Even if your mind is screaming, train yourself to bring a hand to your heart, because that signal sends reassurance and ignites the inner wisdom. What is true wisdom is recognizing the compassion that exists within you and allowing it to guide you. And it comes by having mercy on yourself. Siv, everything that's happening to you and all of you out there, jobs you don't enjoy, feeling your life is without greater purpose, or feeling a sense of dispassion, is simply a way to call you into compassion.
We learn through contrast, and when you have decided that you've had enough, that what I mean by that is that your work is not fulfilling, there will come a point where you will say, to be kind to myself, to be healthy and nourishing to myself, I must make a change. And that is the point where you say, I love myself enough to risk making the change. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I love so much is a famous line from His Holy the Dalai Lama is, my religion is that of kindness.
I love that line.
And kindness is indeed the crucible or the container upon which compassion can grow. When we are kind to ourselves and kind to others, we actually become ever more compassionate. And so it begins by saying, how can I be kind to myself? How can I be kind to the others that are around me? And keep asking that question, and your heart will respond.
And it will. And so, Sri, speaking of responding, why don't we go to another beautiful listener who sent us a lovely email, and this is from Rebecca.
And Rebecca says, hello, thank you for this opportunity.
Smiley face.
Smiley
face. Love the smiley face, Rebecca.
Let's have emojis in our emails. How can I better let healing and transmuting energies flow through me? At present, the original energy that needs healing or transmuting, residue, tends to remain and clog my system. I am happy to be an empath and to heal, but obviously I need to improve my own body to flow freely with energetic healing. I hope I explained this correctly, as it's not easy to describe. So I am here, I'm ready, I'm open, and I seek guidance. Many blessings to you both.
Well, Rebecca, I love your email, and I mean, I love all the emails that have come in, because goodness knows you guys are amazing. I mean, truly, the community that gathers around Passionate Action and Self-Ascension is extraordinary and making a difference on the planet. Rebecca, what's so powerful about your email is the recognition of the need to heal and transmute energy, especially if you have opened up the empathic channels of your divine self, which you have. How many people do we know, or do you know, any of you, Rebecca and others, that are in the healing arts? Mm-hmm. Or are on their journey and start having a sense of imbalance or the sense of inability to hold things or take on other stuff, right?
Oftentimes people who might be quiet are actually using their own physicality to transmute energies for others. And they may have a chronic health condition. They may have chronic issues going on.
Yeah.
And what they are doing is, consciously or unconsciously, they are in service to others in their environment by actually transmuting and changing the negative energies that are around them.
Right.
We live in a world of energy. There's energy everywhere. And a lot of people, you know, put up barriers and try to keep from responding to the energy. Other people say, I'm available.
Well, and this is why I just have to go back to Dharmashala, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, the example. You know, everywhere in Dharmashala are pictures of His Holiness the Dalai Lama. And every once in a while in the streets, you would see these beautiful, like, golden roofs and then the images of Tibet, you know, the two lamas facing at each other and the beautiful Dharma wheel in the middle and the golden energy. And the reason I'm bringing this up right now, Rebecca, is because when we allow ourselves to be surrounded by the energy of the divine, we become the compassionate energy of the divine. And I'm kind of giggling because we're sitting here, as I mentioned, we're coming to you live from Rishikesh, India, right at the banks of the Ganges, staring here. We're in this beautiful, surrounded by the Himalayas, and right here in front of us is my altar. Right? And I giggle because every time Sri and I, you know, we're on this journey right now, we're only in a hotel room, maybe at the most. We were here 3 nights, which is a big thing. But when we unpack, I literally pack my suitcase so that the first thing I do is set up an altar. We walk into a hotel room, I survey the hotel room, and I'm like, where's the altar going? And it's the very first thing I do, and my beloved husband will be like, you know, Kira, where's my underwear? And I'm like, wait, got to set up the altar. So that's the first thing that happens. And the reason I'm sharing that with you is it was just like when we were in Dharmashala, being here in Rishikesh right now during this incredible peak moment of pilgrimage on this holy month. True compassion is saying, I surrender to the divine flow through me, and here it is, guys, trust that energy.
Now, one other important thing to remember, if you are feeling congestion in your body, there comes a point where you must say, what am I holding on to?
And why? How is it serving?
Do I deserve to feel uncomfortable? Is there a part of me that believes that I must suffer a little bit?
Well, or is this suffering helping me to heal and claim mastery of something that maybe I have not been too honest with myself about?
And so use the pain, the residue, the congestion to stimulate your introspection.
Agreed.
To take a deep breath and go, is it time to release this? And if so, why not?
Right. And so, beloved Rebecca, the biggest gift you can give yourself is, and when you're saying, I am here, I am ready, I am open, I seek guidance, receive the guidance. And the guidance is simply this. The only congestion inside of you is that which is teaching you to release others' energies. You know, oftentimes the empathic soul has this initial, I would use the word sense or perception, that somehow it's your responsibility to assist others to heal. And one of the things that we share all the time, and I want to just share again with you personally and with all of you out there, if you are in the healing arts, if you are an empath, if you are working with others, even on your own journey, because remember, your life is working with others, you can only bring people where they want to go, not where you would want to see them arrive. And I want you to really hear that, because the human, you know, early on, when Sri and I first got together, I was so eager, and I would be like, oh, you know, I would try to push people and help them grow faster and see things, and they just weren't ready, or they just didn't want to go there. And that was so unkind of me to just assume they wanted to reach a certain level of development or assume they wanted to grow to a certain level of enlightenment, because each one of us is on the journey at the perfect timing for ourselves. And as we evolve spiritually, as our spiritual maturity comes forward, as our spiritual discernment evolves, true compassion is allowing every being the experience that is theirs to have, because every breath, every experience, every moment is the perfect step. Remember, my angels, that until you are awake, you cannot be responsible. You honestly do not know what you do not know. It is the essence of forgive them. And it also begins with forgive thyself. Know not what they do. You know not what you do. And it's about arriving on the other side with the wisdom of the journey so that you can be the illuminated presence, igniting others to do the same. And Rebecca and everyone, I want you to really breathe that in, because that's true compassion. True compassion is living the presence, not forcing the presence.
And in the living the presence, we attract to ourselves lessons that will help us deepen our trust.
In every single way, oh my goodness.
And in deepening our trust, we also expand our capacity to be ever more compassionate. And this is how we send a wave of healing energy out around our planet.
Absolutely.
And universe.
And you know, the last thing I just want to share in response to Rebecca's inquiry and for all of you out there is, remember, you need to have movement. Now, if you can't physically get out there and move the way you would like to, then mudras, prayer, even just moving your hands into prayer position, bringing your hands to your heart, lifting up to receive the divine, moving energy with your hands, moving in meditation. You can sit in meditation and move your entire body and move all the energy around you. But movement is life. More gentle movement, more gentle flow will also ignite the compassion within. And we have so much more to share as we move forward into this show. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to invite you to do the same. Bring a hand to your heart, take in a deep breath.
And we'll be right back after this message.
Welcome to the Self-Ascension Classroom, affordable and beautiful home study for your mystical journey. Imagine the gift of studying everything that you've ever wanted at home and on your time. Yes, it is possible, and there is so much to choose from as you dive into your home study experience. Remember that with every moment you spend studying this gift, you ignite your divinity. Imagine the mysteries of the Toheel and the crystalline clarity and radiant abundance of Vesa, a mastery balancing technique and certification process, and then cosmic life regression. Travel the universe and remember, allow yourself the gift of navigating the inner matrix. This beautiful ascended mastery program of the Violet Flame will take you to places you may not have dared to dream to go, and then you will rediscover the true gift of your divine nature. Yes, the time is now to study the ancient mysteries, and it's so easy to begin. Discover the Self-Ascension Classroom only at SriandKira.com. That's SriandKira.com. Namaste.
Welcome back. We're delighted to be with you.
You know, we have been discussing compassion and the blessing of the harmony of our divine human experience and how on this planet right now with the planetary thought body trying to get you afraid of everything, the moment of divine compassion, the experience, the blessing, and the energy of this gift is yours to claim right now.
One of the things that's important to remember is that the way consciousness works is it loves contrast. It loves to...
Understatement.
To cultivate discernment through polarity.
Oh, yeah.
We live in a world of duality, of polarity, and it's through dancing with the polarities that we gain wisdom.
I'm dancing, guys. I'm like,
let's dance
with polarity.
And so right now what's prevalent on the planet is a whole lot of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about fear is fear ignites more fear.
And it's an illusion. I got to jump
in
there. It's an illusion. Fear is a power, isn't it? It's a powerful illusion.
Well, and what's powerful about it is it's a natural human emotion. However, what happens is that the fear builds thoughts, and the thought body then reinforces the fear, and we get in this dynamic exaggeration rather than allowing the fear to rise and fall naturally.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a moment of alarm, I'll tell you a story.
Uh-oh, here it comes, guys. All right, everybody hang out. Sheree's telling us a story.
And we pull up to the campfire.
Okay.
No, and because quite
no,
literally.
No, we pull up to the violet flame.
There we go.
There we are.
I was out in nature one time walking on a pathway, and there was a snake in front of me on the path. And my heart leapt, and the adrenaline was pumping through me because it was a big serpent on the path. And I didn't know what to do. Do I go forward? Do I go back? Because it was stationary. And I wasn't sure if it would go away or if it would come after me. And I lifted my flashlight and I shined the light on the serpent, and it was a stick. It was a tree limb.
Of course it was. I love that story.
So I just remember that. I was actually in Africa at the time this happened, in Mombasa. And it was such a powerful teacher.
Yeah.
Because I went through all the fear, the hesitation, the self-doubt, the adrenaline. What do I do? Do I go forward? Do I go backward? And then the symbology of shining a little light on it. So that I might see more clearly, to look at your fear.
But, you know, I got to jump in, Sheree. It took a lot of courage for you to even shine the light. Now, because really, what does it take to shine your light? You know, if you are in a moment of fear and you are collapsing and you are freaking out, to claim the light in that moment is an act of courage.
Yes, absolutely. It's an act of self-trust to say, no, I will look at this.
Exactly.
And so when fear arises, it isn't there to be dismissed. It's there to be looked at, and then you'll see what happens.
So I want to talk about this in the framework of compassion, in the framework of divine compassion on the planet. Because think about it, my loves, right now, what are you spending your time focused on? And, you know, we talked a little bit earlier in the show about keeping your eyes on the divine at all times. We didn't say it that directly. And that's, of course, as everybody knows, one of my most favorite quotes from Archangel Zadkiel. And one of the ways you and I keep our eyes on the divine at all times is that whenever we pack for a journey, literally, you can attest to this, the first thing I pack is the altar.
And the first,
it's the
thing,
first thing in our suitcase.
And the first thing that she unpacks is
it
the
is.
Altar.
And I will sacrifice clothes. And he knows it's true.
Well, And I respect this very much because...
Thank you, my love. I'm kissing Sheree.
Because it is an honoring of the divine. We need to remember that we are indeed spiritual beings having a human experience. And when you travel to... I'm going to give you a travel tip. When you travel to a hotel or a motel in another town, you are moving into a space that was occupied by another consciousness.
So how are you igniting that and claiming that through your divine presence?
And so to walk into the space and say, I choose to bring the divine in my way to this space is a beautiful thing.
Yep.
And I want to give you one other little tip. One of the things that a teacher taught me years ago that I have found to be very useful when I come into a new space, especially a new bed that in a hotel, is I will gaze at the bed for a moment and I'll just imagine it being filled with roses.
Yep. All these rose petals.
Rose petals just growing out of the mattress and falling on the floor all around it. And I'm projecting the energy and the cleansing of divine love and purity of the rose into the space that I will then rest my body later.
And Guy, I have to share, he has become so good at this that there's times literally it smells like roses. And talk about compassion, right? Doesn't it have a blessing within ourselves? I find this to be very filled with divine compassion to say, I'm going to take a moment and bring consciousness to everything that I am doing, to everything in my surroundings. How about that airplane seat? Right? When you get in that airplane seat, how many people, I mean, and given all the little flights we've been on here in India right now, believe me, you know, I'm watching how quickly they turn these planes around. thought, think about the planetary thought body. People are unconsciously sloughing energy and letting go of their stray thoughts or their conversations, and there's a chaotic energy in that. It is truly compassionate when we give ourselves the gift of bringing divine presence to everything first.
And compassion means taking responsibility for your own energy and knowing the effect that you might be having on those around you.
And so with that, I have to go to this next beautiful beloved who wrote us. And this beautiful beloved, I just want to say first and foremost, this email came to us from Veronica. And Veronica, I want to honor and respect your courage to send this email. I love, love, love your authenticity and your truth sharing and being so honest with yourself. So first, I just bow before the mastery that you are claiming for yourself, my angel. And without reading all this email, everybody, because it's a really long email, but it begins with a little story from Veronica where she had an interchange and some challenges with a course that she had purchased from us. And she had an interchange with us, and she was really unhappy with the way that interchange went. And so I'm going to pick it up from there. Does that work? Okay. And here's where it goes, because I just really appreciate this sharing. And she said, I have to admit I was offended and hurt, and it was my pure ignorance which led me to do so. My usual response to hurt is to retreat, which I did for a while. And in the meantime, I searched for other mentors. Long story short, I came back to you as your message and energy fills me with peace, love, and joy. I came full circle, but in doing so, I noticed the whole experience was a lesson in trusting myself first and not becoming upset when confronted with doubt or questioning from others, which has been a pattern in my life. So thank you. I am back with more awareness. I am taking the 12 lessons of light. Yay, Veronica, and all of you, if you're not doing the 12 lessons of light, why not? Go to shriankira.com, and right on the homepage, it's free. Please, please, please give yourself the gift of the 12 lessons of light. Okay, I'm taking the 12 lessons of light, and instead of taking it like a graduate class and, quote, learning the content, I am feeling the energy around my body while I read it. Woohoo! Celebrating that. Feels like a lot going on around the crown area. I also love how the topic and the radio shows are tying in with the lessons. I know if the time is right, you will read my email and offer me a mini soul reading, which would be appreciated. Well, I want to share something. And then she also goes on to talk about how she lived in Chile, misses the Andes, and is now living in the United States for the past 17 years. And she wishes you a happy birthday, Sri.
Well,
now
thank
your
you.
Birthday has come and gone. So, Veronica, wow. What I am really appreciating about your email, first and foremost, is, and I want to share with all of you listening, Sri and I put out a video, I forget how long ago, but it's at our YouTube channel, Official Sri and Kira, and it talks about the spiritual essentials. And if you have not visited that email, or even if you have, that email, that video, or even if you had, you might want to go back and look at that again, because essential number one is this. Pick a spiritual pathway that resonates with you, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Just pick one and stay with it for a full year. Because if you stay with it for a full year, you will. And I mean at least a full year. But if you stay with it for a full year, you will gain so much spiritual presence and maturity. Even if you wind up saying, wow, that was a fascinating journey, you will have received a blessing within your own divine presence. And so one of the gifts that Veronica has given to herself was she flared and said, okay, I'm going to go seek something else. And to your credit, Veronica, you said, wow, in that, right, in your exploration, you rediscovered the divine presence of who you really are and were able to find within your own compassionate nature the recognition of your truth. And that's what matters. It's not about anybody else's truth. It's about yours. You know, I'm reminded, Sri, of Archangel Zadkiel. And of course, how often I am reminded of Archangel Zadkiel. But one of the other things, you know, early on when Sri and I were corresponding or, you know, speaking with Zadkiel regularly, Sri asked Archangel Zadkiel about sin.
Right? That's right.
Yeah. And Zadkiel laughs.
Zadkiel is a most joyful entity, a true being of love and joy. And when I asked about sin, the thoughts in my head actually were about sexuality and
oh, really?
I had that thought.
I did not know that, Sri. New information here, guys.
I was just thinking, there's a lot of things in this world that
we'll talk about this later.
That some people call sin. And I wanted to know what the archangels had to say about that.
Forgive me, guys. I got to get over laughing at Sri. Okay, so Archangel Zadkiel laughed quite a bit at Sri, and now I know why. And Zadkiel said, if there is this thing called sin in your world, and really saying it was was the word of this realm.
If you
must use the word sin, and this is where it was so profound, the only sin would be to interfere with the path of another or to allow another to interfere with your path. And so, Veronica, this is why your email is so profound, because you had that moment where this email interchange blessed you. Bear in mind that this email was exactly what you needed, and you did it. You said, I've allowed this energy to interfere with my path for a moment, and you were able to ignite your spiritual mastery through your walkabout, right? And ignite the mastery and the recognition of divine compassion of, and I recognize that the journey is mine to claim. And so this is a very powerful moment of mastery. And for anyone, for all of us, when we are triggered, and this is very important because right now the world is full of triggers, is it not? And is it not the greatest act of compassion for ourselves, for our planet, that when we are triggered, to step aside from that which is triggered, right? The trigger is the little me. The trigger is a little me going, me, 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 I'm triggered, me, 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 right? Get away from the little me. Step aside from it. Gaze at it. And, as I'm gazing out here at the Himalayas, I'm kind of giggling because I always say, pull yourself up into the Himalayas. And here we are, literally, sitting in the Himalayas. And so pull yourself up into the Himalayas and witness the little me and offer compassion to that aspect of the self that is feeling unheard or hasn't had their needs met, and see it as the gift it is. Because the moment you can master the energy that is presenting is the moment you are free of it. And you are free to be and free to expand.
It's important for us to remember that we all have an emotional body. And for the most part, our emotional body is a youngster.
Yeah.
It's very much tied into the younger years and the concepts of the younger years and taking care of me and getting my needs met, and I feel hurt or I feel happy. And one of the things to remember is whenever you're triggered, whether it's anger or sadness, hurt, is to take a moment and honor the fact, okay, I feel it, and to breathe. Because through the breath, we will naturally expand beyond the constricting energy of the emotion. Through your breath, you'll find freedom. So we breathe, we bring a hand to our heart, we notice, and we expand.
And when anyone ever, and Veronica, I'm sharing this with you and with all of you, if someone's questioning your motives or questioning your actions, maybe they're questioning your spiritual journey. How many of you on your spiritual quest have had a lot of people that are really worried about you, right? Or projecting on you or trying to interfere with your experience? When anyone questions that aspect of you, that's the moment that you are being asked to trust. That's the moment when the universe is looking at you and saying, okay, you're ready to really walk the walk?
Yeah.
You ready to really move forward? Or are you just talking about this on weekends, the weekend spiritualist? Or are you really ready to walk the walk? And maybe you get it in the moment, and maybe, like Veronica, you do a little walkabout and then you get it. Doesn't matter when you get it. However, when that occurs, when that moment of divine recognition comes forward and you're like, thank you. Thank you for inviting me to really say yes. That's the moment you're free. That's the moment you're ready to go to the next level. And that's the moment the universe comes forward with incredible miracles. And I've got to talk about that here, Sri, because the beautiful group that we're with has been creating miracle after miracle already.
Yes, indeed. And by way of preface is the group was touring an ancient temple site.
The Masroor Temple. This is an incredibly ancient temple in the Masroor, in the Congra Valley. And what was fascinating was Sri and I were unable to be with them in that day. And here's what's also so cool. The first miracle is that we are here in July, several reasons we're here in July. Number one, because it's the month of Shravan, it's Shiva's holy month. Number two, because we're heading up to Kedarnath, which is next week's show, guys. Gotta listen to next week's show. Because it's way up high in the Himalayas, only open a couple months a year when it's not snowed in. So it's monsoon. And the reason I'm bringing this up is the first miracle that this group manifested was when they took off in the cars that morning, it was pouring down. It was, guys, you want to talk about dark skies and ominous rain, and everybody had their raincoats and their galoshes and their umbrellas. But when they got to Masroor,
the skies were clear.
Brilliant blue sky. So much so that one of our beautiful participants said, Kira, look at my picture. I took a picture to prove that it was sunny. And it was. It was gorgeous blue sky. I mean, like, absolutely miracle sky. So that's the first thing, is that when we have the power of collective compassion and the unified field of sincerity, remember, guys, here's the magic formula. If you want a formula, sincerity, love and presence equals miracle manifestation. So this beautiful group shows up with sincerity, with love, and with presence. And simultaneously, remember I mentioned in the first half of the show there had been an earthquake in 1905 in this area. Well, simultaneously, while they were out at the temple, Sri and I were in Dharmashala in the museum, literally, and we were blessed. Our miracle was that we were the only people in the museum. So the curator was literally opening up things, and Sri and I were touching the artifacts. We were literally touching the temple, and the curator was showing us stuff that
well,
normally
isn't
there.
The very same artifacts, many of them that would have been at that temple.
At that temple. This is what they preserved that came from that time. So while they're at the temple creating this miracle, and it was beautiful because when the sun opened up, Sri and I were standing, and we could see the entire valley. They were there at the temple and holding so much presence, so much compassion that they created the next miracle.
The next miracle was that there is an area at the temple that's private. The public's not allowed in.
You know, the whole, you know, cannot go beyond the gates kind of thing. And,
yeah.
And it's a very magical part of the temple with very ancient stones.
And due to the loving presence and the sincerity of this group of travelers, the local guard was touched and simply opened the gateway so that they could go inside this secret private area.
Not only did they go in, they all went in and were able to meditate and have a meditation experience in that area. And it turned out to be a very profound, deep, connected energy. And this is compassion.
It's compassion, and it's also teaching us about manifesting miracles.
Yes.
That miracles happen when we reside in the trust and love of our essential essence, the trust and love of who you really are,
a
beautiful soul having a human birth. And when we reside in our love and our compassion, doors open. Things happen. And it isn't that we need to be demanding. It is, however, that we do have an intention to touch whatever we need to touch. This
Absolutely.
Group had an intention to touch
and
the divine,
did.
To learn more about the site.
Yes.
And it was revealed.
And this is the gift, is that regardless of what the illusion of fear wants to show you, sincerity, love, and presence will literally open the doors. And I just love how the group literally had the doors
open.
And so you can literally do that. And Veronica, I just want to say one more thing before we move on to our next beloved one. You also asked at the end about a recurring dream you've been having about the three peaks and the Andes and the snow-covered mountains. A couple things I want to share to you directly, Veronica. Number one, what's being said to you is that do not cover your dreams with illusion. allow yourself to be free and to remember the truth of who you are. This is all tied together. 17, you said this has been going on for 17 years. Our miracle team, the number 17 is a very powerful number. And when you take the 1 plus the 7, it equals the 8, which is the archangelic realm. And when you flip it on its side, it is the infinite. You are at a time of great awakening, and you have said yes to that awakening. I also want to share on another note that Blue Mountain is actually a series of three pointed peaks in the Andes. And so there's a reason you came full circle back to this teaching. Allow yourself the blessing of just diving into it and giving yourself the gift of empowering yourself ever further. And so let's go on. I have another guest, another beautiful being here, who just had the cutest sharing. I want to share it with her. And this is from Dottie. And Dottie, let me just first and foremost say thanks for writing.
And she writes, Namaste, Sri and Kira. As I stood in the shower today at 1:30 p.m.,
all right,
I heard chanting from India.
I love that. What a great shower. I'm going to go take a shower after the show.
Yeah, so beautiful. I am studying the art of ascended living, which is profound.
Now, for those of you that don't know, those are those 12 lessons of light. So again, official Sri and Kira, SriKira.com homepage, get the 12 lessons of light.
And then she goes on to say, may I have a mini soul reading? Love and blessings to you both for your loving and boundless service, Dottie.
Hey, Dottie. This is Dottie from Florida. Dottie, I just want to share something with you. And your reading, I know, is going out there to a lot of others. And the key is, when you have a profound connection, in your case, on that day at 1:30 p.m., when you were standing in the shower, hearing the chanting from India, those are the moments you need to bring your hand to your heart, say thank you. You and ask in that moment, help me understand, what else is there for me to know? There is always more. You are actually right now learning how to open up these divine portals of information, and I strongly encourage you, when you have more of these moments, especially since you're writing down the days and the times, start looking at that. If you took our ascended numerology class, start looking at the numerology, the ascended numerology of the day and the time. Can you understand the chant? Can you write it down? Can you start singing it yourself? For all of you, compassionately accepting the gift of your spiritual nature will free you from fear. This is a very powerful moment, and July is the journey. So allow the July journey to bring you to new places. Trust the journey, ignite your soul's wisdom, and carry forward with the compassion of your divine nature. That's how we're all collectively moving through this journey, and will indeed affect the August adventure. Your compassionate nature, your spiritual tenacity and maturity matter. And we know that you are doing that, or you wouldn't be listening to this show.
Absolutely. And it's another important thing I want to mention about this email is, as a closing reminder for us all, there are moments within the moments. There are moments within the patterns of our life's activity where this information just pops in. And whether that moment is when you're falling asleep or taking a shower or out for a walk or doing your meditation, mm-hmm. make space for the moments, the time out of time, to inform you. And this is how we create a compassionate life that is connected to our essential nature.
And before we would close today, we would ask all of you in your heart to carry His Holiness the Dalai Lama and to send him long life, health, gratitude, and appreciation for all that he has brought forward to the planet. This is a moment where we can offer him our compassion and our love and gratitude. Having walked the holy streets of Dharamshala, witnessed in the eyes and the hearts of the beings that are there, there is now more than ever the moment where the message that this beloved being has brought to the planet is needed, is heard, and can be expressed through you living the truth of your divine nature. From beautiful Rishikesh, staring out at the extraordinary Himalayas in the energy of beautiful Mother Ganga, and literally up to a million pilgrims that have come here to celebrate, may you know how truly blessed you are and how much we love you.
Beloved ones, until we have the joy of being with you again next week, may you take a deep breath in and trust that all is truly well.
Namaste.
Thank you for joining us at Sri and Kira Live. To have your questions answered, send us an email to guest@sriandkiraradio.com and check out more information at sriandkira.com. See you next week. Namaste.